If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll free. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com. Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663, or thepowerherbs.com. Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. We're here to empower you on Herb Talk. Magical engineer and I. That's right. Frank is our engineer. We're all ready to empower you. That's what we like to do here on Herb Talk. Thanks for joining us on American Voice Radio. We're going to be talking about, for the first part of the show, we're going to be talking about passion. And what does that have to do with health? And also, we're going to be focusing on some foods you might want to have on hand if there's ever a famine. And, herbs. I'm talking about herb foods. And also we're going to be talking about psyllium a little bit for your health and why you want to tap into that great thing of psyllium. And we do have a quack report, but a big reminder coming up next week, Dr. Carly will be with us. And we got some vaccine stuff we're going to talk about. I'm going to touch on some of it here in the quack report in just a minute. Also, time is running out if you want to sign up for John Monroe's Natural Vision Workshop in Charlotte, North Carolina. That's going to be held the 26th of July at the Embassy Suites Hotel on Tryon, South Tryon Street. You have to register by this week, and you can go on their website, drbanker.com, or give them a call if you want to learn more about the workshop. And this is all about natural vision improvement with natural solutions for those ailing problems of the eye. So it's no drugs or surgery. So if you want to learn more, give John Monroe a call. His number is 303-494-4532, and that's in Boulder, Colorado. So remember, that's mountain time. That's 303-494-4532. And he does tell me he's often in his office till 7 p.m. Eastern time at night, so you can call him there. And if you can't make the workshop, you can still inquire about his home health vision care kit that you could try to use in the privacy of your home. I have one, and so working with that. And you can, too. So I hope you'll contact John and get one of those. They're awesome. All right. Before the Quack Report, big salute and Semper Fi. We're lifting our righteous men and women in uniform up and asking God's hand of protection be on them. And notice I said that the righteous men and women. I'm also praying for righteousness to be restored across America from the county clerk to the White House. You know what I'm saying? We need some help. We're going to need the big guy's help. And we're going to have to seek his face and mind the time for it. Draws near. So I hope you'll join me in praying for this nation because we're going to need some help. And without further ado, let's do the Quack Report. Thank you, Frank. What do we got in the Quacker? Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. They lost some vials of smallpox and then they found them again. Uh-oh. Let's see. Government scientists that were cleaning out an old storage room at a research center near Washington, D.C., which is, this is Maryland, right? Bethesda, Maryland, National Institute of Health in Bethesda, Maryland. Uh-oh. Anyway, they discovered smallpox vials, kind of packed away, forgotten, cardboard box. There they are. Six vials, glass, intact, with the seals on them. Scientists have yet to establish whether the virus is dead or alive. And, you know, it's disturbing because, you know, for decades after smallpox was supposedly eradicated in the 1980s, the World Health Authority said that the only known samples were safely tucked away in a super secure laboratory in Atlanta and one in Russia. Right on, right on. But apparently that was not true. Officials said that this is the first time in the United States that an unaccounted for smallpox has been rediscovered. At least one leading scientist raised the possibility that there maybe could be more vials out there around the world that were just misplaced. Now, of course, it's under a CDC and an FBI investigation. It was the second recent incident in which the U.S. government health agency appeared to have mishandled a highly dangerous germ. Last month, the CDC employees at Atlanta were exposed, they thought, to anthrax because of a laboratory safety lapse, and everybody was given antibiotics as a precaution. So the freeze-dried smallpox samples that they found in the building at the National Institutes of Health in Bethesda, Maryland, they said it had been used before by the Food and Drug Administration in 1972, according to the CDC. So the scientists are clearing out a cold room between two laboratories on July 1st, and that's when they discovered the smallpox there. It is freeze-dried, but viruses usually have to be kept cold to remain alive and dangerous. So officials said labeling indicates that the smallpox had been put in the vials in the 1950s, but they said it's not clear how long the vials have been in the building. And the building was not open, hasn't been really utilized in a while. Samples were rushed to the FBI protection, under protection of the CDC in Atlanta for testing. And then they say after a few weeks they'll destroy that. Right. Now, at least one other such episode, vials of smallpox were found in the bottom of a freezer in an Eastern European country in the 90s, according to Dr. David Heyman, a former World Health Organization official who is now a professor at the London School of Hygiene and Topical Medicine, and Dr. Donald D.A. Henderson, who led the WHO smallpox eradication effort and is now a professor at the Center for Health Security at the University of Pittsburgh, said, you know, things were pretty casual in the 50s. Decades ago, he says, I came back from many trips carrying specimens, and I just put them in the fridge until I could get them to the laboratory. Really? Pretty casual, huh? Now, smallpox was one of the most lethal diseases in history. For centuries, it killed about one-third of the people it infected and left most survivors with deep scars on their faces from pus-filled lesions. Yuck. Now, the last known case was in Britain in 1978 when a university photographer who worked above a lab and they mishandled smallpox, he died after he was accidentally exposed to it through the ventilation system. So many scientists argue that any remaining samples pose a threat and that the deadly virus should be wiped off the planet altogether. But, you know, then there are other researchers that say, wait a minute. We need to research that disease a little bit more closely so that we can have vaccines. Well, if you have no disease, why would you need the vaccine? Well, the World Health Organization is going to put that decision off. You can guarantee it. Moving along, last but not least, in the Quack Report. Oh, boy, here's something about organ transplants. They don't have enough organs to transplant, so they've come up with this new bioprinting technology. They're still working on it. But scientists and researchers have found some huge bioprinting rewards here. They bioprint tissues and organs for transplantation into people affected by trauma or disease. It's a new study. Researchers from the University of Sydney, Australia, Harvard, and Stanford, as well as Massachusetts Institute of Technology, are all involved in this. And they've managed to bioprint artificial vascular networks that are capable of mimicking the body circulatory system, which, you know, necessary for growth of complex tissues. This is all in the Science Daily report. So thousands of people die each year for lack of organs to transplant, and they said that, you know, this would be a game changer if they could get this down. Many more are subjected to surgical removal of tissues and organs due to cancer. So this, if they could do a bioprinting technology transplant, this would save a lot of people a lot of time and probably money. But creating those vascular circulatory networks has been kind of a stumbling block and prevents tissue engineers from becoming the engineering from becoming a real in the clinical application. So they're still kind of work out the bugs, as it were. So if they can get a high-tech bioprinter and a team to construct and interconnect tiny fibers and then print that out and install it, I'm kind of feeling like a computer here if I'm a patient, though. You know, recreating little bits of tissue is one thing, but, you know, getting it to print out, I don't know. It just seems bizarre to me. It's way beyond Captain Kirk and Spock. It's weird. And that wraps the Quack Report.
That's all, folks.
Thank you, Frank. I don't know. People just are recreating everything. Even humans, it's bizarre. All right, well, let's talk about your passion for a minute. Where is it? Do you know where your passion is? What are you passionate about? Well, you know, there seems to be a shift in the mindset of those that are called the 30-somethings, you know, 30-year-olds. But within the 30-somethings, there's a group, and we are calling them the minimalists, okay? They're 30-something, but they're also minimalists. These are youngsters who try to make a meaningful life with less stuff, okay? They're not materialistic, and they're not egomaniacs. So they find their passion, and then they build their life around what they are passionate about. Now, authors Joshua Milburn and Ryan Nicodemus, they kind of capture the canned side of American life and expose all the flaws. So it's kind of like trying to see the forest through the trees. They help us see that. And Milburn and Nicodemus reveal what should really matter to us. You know, we're kind of missing it. And let's take a look and see what power we actually possess that we can change and live our lives for the better right now. And they also mentioned, the authors were mentioning the American dream and, you know, the American dream of, you know, establishing that great career and buying a home and driving a nice car. Well, it's becoming more, I guess, of a dream than a reality for a lot of folks. To the minimalists, though, that kind of life can lead to, you know, keeping up with the Joneses and too many hoops to jump through. And they say it's not very fulfilling. Okay, so it doesn't mean that they one day won't own a home and a car, but they're just going to go about obtaining them on their own terms. And let's look at what the minimalists call canned spam. To the minimalists, most Americans are living a canned life. To them, that's what they see. Most Americans, they say, are slaves to their lifestyle. So minimalists are asking, What do you do? Why do you do that to yourself? You know, why do you, you know, round peg square hole? Why do you force yourself to keep up the Joneses? Why do you do that to yourself? That's their mindset. Well, what the minimalists do is they bypass the luxury items, and they make do in order to have time and energy and funds to pursue what they're passionate about. So they make some sacrifices, but they think it's worth it. So the media can actually program us to regurgitate canned speech. For example, when you first meet someone, we often ask, well, what is it that you do? So people have, you know, inquiring minds, and how you make a living is pretty much a main question that's asked of you. So when I'm asked that question, I could answer that I'm a writer, or that I'm a radio show host, or that I'm an herbalist. So we're a society that's obsessed with status, is what the minimalists are saying. So Milburn and Nicodemus are often approached and asked, well, what is it that you do? And they will convert that dialogue and to answering what they're passionate about. So this divergence creates an intimate exchange between people talking about what they really care about instead of a job they don't care about. So removing the importance of your job title from a conversation allows people to see who you are and what fulfills you. So we all have obligations, and hopefully how we meet those obligations is through something we are passionate about. But most people, however, have occupations that are not fulfilling, and it's just there to pay the bills. But if necessary, a minimalist will accept a smaller paycheck if what he's doing is also his passion. Well, let's talk about some of the dangers that affect our health when we're in occupations that, I guess, are not our passions, or start out to be, but then it changes things, right? So we often focus on the dangers that surround our world, you know, like war, poisonous snakes or spiders, deadly storms, but we often forget about our own careers that could be just as dangerous to our health. So the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health looked at those occupations that have high rates of suicide, and it was the high skill and the high stakes jobs that elevated the death rates, actually. So the occupations were, the high death rate occupations were dentistry, medical physicians, engineers, financiers, lawyers, and some highly skilled blue-collar jobs. So they reported that 11 million death certificates were issued from 1984 to 1998 to mostly Caucasian males. They also discovered from the data that that scientists are 1.28 times more likely to kill themselves. Really? So they also looked at the occupations which had more alcoholics, and at the top of the list were bartenders, by 2.33 times more likely to die from alcoholism. Now, for Caucasian women, the jobs with the most deaths by alcoholism were editors, reporters, musicians, and composers. However, the job that kills more skilled females by 2.78 times is that being a female physician, apparently. Female MD. Now, for black men, the jobs with most deaths linked to alcoholism were gardeners, groundkeepers, garbage collectors, and farm workers. For black women, the most deaths linked to alcoholism were farm-related jobs, housekeeping, and being unemployed. So this is all, you know, data from the Occupational Safety and Health. And there was some other surprising stuff. You know, the report on occupational hazards and death by job was pretty revealing. Some of the high-skilled blue-collar jobs that also fell into the high suicide category were law enforcement officers, real estate agents, and electricians. Now, you'd think that the occupations that offered more risk of death would be, you know, race car driver or firefighter, right? Well, instead, it's your doctor, your banker, your dentist, and your neighbor, the lawyer, that has the higher risk. Now, is it something about the people that are drawn to those occupations, or is it the occupation itself? Well, the common thread experts list for the high-risk suicide jobs is high and consistent occupational stress. So the other stress variables are pretty unlimited, such as, you know, a dangerous workplace, uncertain paycheck, demanding clients, and ethical issues. Now, I didn't think, you know, I thought, why are real estate, other than the real estate market being a challenge, why would real estate agents be on the list? Well, one of the things I read was, you know, they often meet perfect strangers in vacant homes to show the home. And I'm like, ooh, at all hours, you know? Yeah, if you're a female, that's, I don't think I'd be doing that. Bring my German Shepherd with me. You know, and maybe my Glock. I don't know. Crazy. All right, I want to read you a quote from Joshua Foster of Psychology Today. He says this, physicians are more likely to succeed at their suicide attempts because they know what drugs to turn to and what doses to use and have relatively easy access to those drugs. Mm-hmm. So are Americans on the brink? There was another report from the CDC stating that the economy is the reason so many middle-aged Americans, that's 35 to 64, are committing suicide. The report showed that the suicide rate rose 28% between 1999 and 2010. So that's 18 deaths per 100,000 people. Now, these statistics are nearing what the Great Depression was, that was 22 deaths per 100,000 people. So for men in their 50s, the suicide rate rose 50% and 60% for women. Now, not everyone has access to a pharmacy for suicide, so the CDC is reporting most suicides over the last decade have been by firearm, poison, and hanging. And we can't forget about the antidepressants, you know. That's right. Another factor some experts are now citing at elevating the suicide rates are the use of the dangerous antidepressants. Now, scientific studies such as the one published in the January 2010 Journal of the American Medical Association, also known as JAMA, concluded that the popular Prozac, Paxil, and Zoloft, your SSRI drugs, showed as much effectiveness at alleviating depression as the placebo. So they were worthless. They were sugar pills for helping you with your depression. On the other hand, the drugs produce more aggressive and violent behaviors leading to suicide and homicides. So there is a lack of ethics and morals in the halls of medicine, the halls of science, and corruption within the law. And we are affected by it, aren't we? It's trickling down, but it's there. It affects everybody. You bump into people, right? They work in those fields. Let me read you a quote from the National Institute of Mental Health. It says this: the weakness is its lack of validity. Yeah, these scientific studies, the lack of validity, and we're selling you the drug anyway to make a profit. We don't care what it does to you. The lack of ethics and morals, the lack of validity, and they get into the marketplace, and they do their dirty deeds. Well, you know, I'm a true believer that when we are weak, we need to seek a higher power. So where men fail, God prevails, okay? God is not the author of fear or destruction. So when we draw near to him and pray, he promises us the spirit of power, spirit of love, and a sound mind. Don't need that antidepressant, see? So just get in that word, that Bible over there. You won't need those drugs. No, you won't. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. That's where he promises you that sound mind, where you're clear, you know what you could do, what you should do, and you can cope with this crazy world. Now, God also promises that his herbs have healing power and are here for our service. You could read that in Genesis chapter 1 and Psalms 104. And for the times when we feel overwhelmed, you know what I do? I like to use valerian root, and I pray Psalms 91. I feel much better. I also like to tap into really hot cayenne every once in a while. I try to take it every day for my exercise workout, and it really helps the body cope with stress better, you know? So cayenne, really hot cayenne, is awesome to have on hand. The cayenne, like you find in the circulation formula, it's a circulation enhancer, but it also gives you the lift and the energy your body needs, especially when you're stressed. So if there's a weakness also in your cardio area, you want to use those circulatory herbs and the heart herbs, like the heart formula, which are going to strengthen that whole system. Now, the nutrition in the body, you know, a lot of times when we get under stress, we lose a lot of nutrition, especially if we've been indulging in too much alcohol. Kind of, you know, takes that nutrition right out of the system. We need to replenish that. And we need to put back what's missing, what was taken away. So we have to use some nutrition, some certified organic plant protein nutrition. And I like to use the Body Food Mix for that. So a big stress reliever is to find a way to make a living, though, doing the things that you're passionate about, or at the very least, make some time in your week for your passion, okay? Whether it's painting, roller skating, flying a kite, whatever you're passionate about, find time to, you know, kind of enjoy that area of your life, and you'll love this level a lot. Now, you want to make time for the Lord as well, you know? So if you do that, make time for your passion, of course, make time for the Lord, you're going to benefit. So to get rid of the distress out of your day, call Apothecary Herbs, and you can ask them about their emotional stress formula, the circulatory formula, the heart formula, the Body Food Mix, and, of course, that valerian root that is awesome at taking the tension out of the nervous system. So they have a toll-free number. It's 866-229-3663. You want to de-stress, give them a call, 866-229-3663, or visit their website, thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com. We got to take a break. We'll be right back. Somewhere over the rainbow.
To the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
The ancient Greeks thought thyme herb provided strength. Indeed, the chemical compounds of thyme contain antioxidants, an effective germicide that kills whooping cough bacteria and makes breathing easier. Just imagine what you can do with thyme herb when it comes to respiratory ailments like croup, pneumonia, asthma, and sinusitis. The extra benefit of thyme herb is that it soothes nerves and stops spasmodic coughing, so you can get some rest. Who says you don't have time to take care of yourself? Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free for Thyme Tincture NT to soothe your cough and get some rest. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663, International 704-875-8010, or online at thepowerherbs.com.
Thomas Edison invented the light bulb, Henry Ford the automobile, and herbalist Wendy Wilson? Well, discover for yourself. Listen to Herb Talk Live.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663, or thepowerherbs.com.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at the3w's.thepowerherbs.com.
Just what you need to be so. Filled with.
Talk. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson, and we're going to be talking about, you know, if we are in a famine situation, you know, what could we actually look around and find that can help us out, and what our ancestors actually looked around to find to help them out in times when there was possible famine. Now, for instance, George Washington and his men, when they were camping out during the Winter Valley Forge, they ran out of supplies. They didn't have what they really needed, and they didn't want to starve to death. So what the men did was they stripped bark from the slippery elm tree and made a tea, and that helped sustain them. And I'll talk about why that did that, why that actually kept them going. So it kept them from starvation. And actually, slippery elm bark does contain a lot of what we call chain mucilage sugars or polysaccharides. And it is a bit slippery, slick and slippery when you do add it to water. So it goes down really easy, that's for sure. And it's very comforting and soothing to the digestive system. So slippery elm is excellent. I guess, thing to forage for if you didn't have anything else. But we're also going to look at some other herbs here and as well. But since we're talking about slippery elm, let's go ahead and go through that one. Knowing what herbs to forage for and how to eat them in times of famine is real important. So slippery elm can be made into a hot cereal or a porridge or gruel, if you will, and it will easily sustain a person for several days. So this is why pioneer families and wilderness foragers harvested slippery elm. The Native American Indians would also use slippery elm as a food preservative to retard rancidity. So the Indians would mix an ounce of slippery elm for every pound of bear fat or meat, and then they would heat it. They would strain the fat, and the American pioneer settlers actually started doing the same thing with butter and lard. So nursing mothers also use slippery elm, very helpful for things like mastitis to bring any kind of sores to a head and to help them heal. It's also preferred to use yellow or the inner bark is what you want. You don't want the outer bark. So it's the inner bark of the slippery elm tree. It's less astringent than the outer bark, and it has that polysaccharide nutrition. It also has a nice taste. It's similar to how fenugreek tastes, and you can actually grind it into flour. The nutritional value in your slippery elm has actually been compared to oatmeal, and it's high in calcium and carbohydrates and fiber, niacin, riboflavin, and thiamine. It also contains lots of vitamin A and C as well as zinc. Now, the English herbalist Nicholas Culpepper used slippery elm for broken bones and to heal burns. He often claimed that the herb helped reverse baldness. So during the Civil War, the slippery elm was used to treat syphilis, gonorrhea, and hemorrhoids, although no scientific studies have confirmed this benefit. Now, the slippery elm is indigenous to the United States and Canada, and it primarily grows north of the Carolinas and west of the Appalachian Mountains. Now, the state of Michigan harvests the most slippery elm in the United States. Now, the second benefit that slippery elm offers is that it's an excellent herb to use in a poultice to apply to soothe burns or wounds. And it helps keep those herbs all together so it won't be a mess. You know, kind of makes it's like the glue that holds it all together. So if you use it as on the outside exterior of your skin, it'll stay where you put it. So it's great for wounds. Now, if you take any of the slippery elm internally, it will improve your bowel transit time and you will absorb toxins while regulating intestinal floras. So if you use slippery elm as a expectorant to remove mucus from your throat, it's helpful for that. You want to avoid capsules and tablets of slippery elm, though, and use either, I guess, a bulk form or a tincture form in a liquid. Now, if you're going to use it, you should consume the herb on an hourly basis, especially if you want to clear anything in the throat to help the throat tissue, because the tannins in the slippery elm combined with the mucus will congeal, and then it helps you expel it out. So if you've got like mucus in your throat, a little drainage, it'll help you get rid of that. Now, slippery elm actually is my herb of choice for diarrhea and dysentery. It'll stop that in a skinny minute. It is awesome. Okay, have that on hand for those types of things. And yes, it's safe for kids if you want to use it for little kids and skip the dysentery vaccine. All right, let's talk about another herb. It's called marshmallow root. If you've ever gone camping and you've toasted marshmallows over the open fire, you should know it was actually the marshmallow plant which inspired that tradition. The French invented the spongy confection that you know of as a marshmallow in 1850. The marshmallow plant was used to make the sweets, and however, it was used also for medicine long before it was used as a confection. So the benefit of marshmallow goes back 2,500 years, and it was a food before it became a medicine. So food, medicine, confectionery, that's how it went. So there is a biblical indication that the marshmallow plant was eaten during the famines. You can see it in Job chapter 30. So when there was no food at all, history shows that the marshmallow root was boiled or fried and then eaten. Marshmallow is another herb that the wilderness foragers would always look for, and it'll be near marshy land, bogs, damp meadows, and along the streams of banks, you know, bank streams. It'll be along your stream bank there. So check it out. You can see it there. You'll also want to harvest the roots, and hopefully they will be at least 2 years old. And the best time to harvest them is in the fall. Marshmallow root was used in ancient times for bruises and blood loss as well. Hippocrates wrote about that. The ancient Greeks used marshmallow root poultices for insect bites and even stings. And the Romans used it for toothaches, vomiting, and as an antidote for poison. All right. Now, if you look in Pithny Roman, he was a Roman naturalist. Pithny wrote this in 23 to 79 A.D. He said, "Whoever shall take a spoonful of the mallow shall that day be free from all diseases." Huh. Okay. Well, in the 10th century, Arab physicians used marshmallow leaf poultices for inflammation. European folk medicine used marshmallow root for sore throats, digestive problems, and urinary inflammation. In the 17th century, English herbalist Nicholas Culpepper gave a marshmallow the credit for healing his son of a deadly dysentery called the bloody flux. And North American colonists discovered the benefits of marshmallow in the mid-19th century. The colonists used it for many ailments we've already mentioned, and also for gonorrhea, kidney, and bladder ailments. So marshmallow was listed in the U.S. Pharmacopoeia as being very beneficial. Now, in the 19th century, marshmallow became a campfire treat. So how did the French make the first marshmallow candy? Well, they peeled away the bark of the marshmallow root and exposed the white pulp. Then they boiled the pulp to soften it and to release all the sugars. They added more sugar and made a sweet, spongy marshmallow stick. And all you need now is a campfire, see? All right, let's look at some of the studies. It isn't every day that the FDA calls an herb excellent, and according to the FDA, slippery elm is an excellent herb. It's a soothing agent, and a slippery elm has been tested as a wound dressing or poultice, and as it dries, it makes kind of like an herbal bandage. So slippery elm is still listed in the National Formulary, the pharmacist reference. And also the German E-Commission approved marshmallow for your coughs and respiratory conditions. Researchers found that marshmallow improves the body's ability to make white blood cells for immune system. And in the animal studies, marshmallow was found to reduce blood sugar levels, and the FDA considers marshmallow very safe. All right, so we got slippery elm, we got marshmallow. What else can we look for if we have famine and you know, troublesome times. Well, juniper berries is also an excellent herb to have. Many think of using a juniper berry for an antiseptic property or to treat a urinary or prostate problem. But juniper is high in protein. It's high in fat and silicon and vitamin A. Nicholas Culpepper, the herbalist, used juniper for congestive heart failure, plague, dropsy, and kidney and bladder disorders. The Native American Indians preferred to use juniper berries for wound infections, arthritis, for uterine recovery after childbirth even. And what are some of the studies saying? Well, in the animal studies, it was found that the American Indians were right. The juniper berries stimulate uterine contractions. So in Germany, they determined that juniper berries have an anti-inflammatory property, and they do prescribe the herb for arthritis and gout. Other animal studies suggest that juniper berries reduce blood sugars. So it's not recommended to take your medicinal amounts of juniper berry for longer than about 6 weeks. Use juniper like in short bursts so you can avoid any type of renal failure, because sometimes if your kidneys aren't functioning well, the oils in the juniper can irritate your kidneys. So FYI. That's why the folks at Apothecary Herbs, they have two separate kidney bladder cleanses, one with juniper, one without, so those that have sensitive kidneys can still cleanse but without the juniper. Also, a study published in the Clinical Allergy Journal suggests that those with hay fever allergies may be more sensitive to juniper berries and develop a rash. So if you have hay fever, juniper may give you a problem. All right, you know, I'm kind of this person that likes to do two things at once if I can, two birds, one stone kind of thing. So what I like to do is I like to use the certified organic herbal formulas, and I like to use them in combinations. So marshmallow root and juniper berry tincture, they're aged concentrates. The folks at Apothecary Herbs have that. And you can layer a lot of these formulas together for more power, for a synergistic effect. If you'd like to learn more, you can give them a call and request their free product catalog. Their number is toll-free at 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. And, of course, if you're outside the U.S., you want to dial 704-885-0277 or the website, thepowerherbs.com. Of course, if you have questions, you can always email as well. All righty, we're going to move on to our wonderful psyllium. I love psyllium. I've mentioned it before. It is great for bowel function. So it helps. It's really one of those herbs that breaks up a blockage if you tend to have any blockages in the system, especially the digestive tract. So I like to use psyllium, and we're going to go over some of the ways that our ancient ancestors used it, and also how it helps our system, especially our bowel, to avoid a lot of problems. A lot of modern healers also have tapped into the ancient wisdom of using psyllium. So we're going to get back to some basics here. Most people have really no clue what psyllium is. However, if you mention to them Metamucil, they may make the connection, oh, psyllium, it's a laxative then, right? Yes. Actually, Metamucil is psyllium seeds with a sweetener and a flavoring and a coloring added to it. But diabetics should not use it due to the added sugars. Now, psyllium is an important seed which has been cultivated in India and Pakistan for thousands of years. Now, in the 16th century, it made its way to Europe and was used for constipation issues. Now, it is a seed that is soluble in water and expands to 10 times its original size when it gets wet, and then it releases this mucilaginous property and medicinal action. So European physicians adopted the use of psyllium from folk treatments because it is an excellent for the GI tract, providing fiber, and it also soothes the bowel tissue. Now, for centuries, psyllium has been used for diarrhea, hemorrhoids, constipation, urinary problems, and other bowel malfunctions, and even high blood pressure. So psyllium was not used in America until after World War I. So history proves that psyllium is safe and gentle as a laxative with no side effects. And most people, when they see a psyllium plant, they confuse it with a plantain plant because they look similar and I think they just think both of them are just weeds. But today, psyllium is one of America's most popular natural laxatives, and it is an ingredient in many over-the-counter laxatives like Fiberol. All right, let's talk about some of the studies real quick. Scientific studies suggest that the fiber in psyllium lowers cholesterol and helps control the blood sugar. A German e-commission expert of MDs and scientists discovered that the psyllium seeds are a safe natural treatment for diarrhea, hemorrhoids, irritable bowel syndrome, and constipation. A report in Diseases of the Colon and Rectum found that psyllium is effective at treated hemorrhoids by reducing the stress on the rectum itself. So researchers in Israel, they studied 35 patients suffering from chronic constipation. They gave the group a pharmaceutical placebo, and then another group of placebo, and another group a natural laxative that had psyllium and aloe in it. After 2 weeks, they assessed the group. The group with the placebo showed no improvement. The group on the pharmaceutical showed some improvement, and those on the psyllium and aloe product had significant improvement. Afterward, the group using the psyllium and aloe continued to have softer stools and more normal bowel function after stopping the natural product. So the group that used the pharmaceutical product had recurring constipation after stopping the drug. So research also discovered that psyllium helps to lower cholesterol. So how does it do that? Well, the fiber in your psyllium pulls the cholesterol out of the bloodstream to prevent blocking your arteries and lowers your risk of heart disease and stroke. So a study that was published in the Archives of Internal Medicine found that a teaspoon of psyllium taken 3 times a day lowered cholesterol levels. They concluded that patients with moderate cholesterol levels could lower their cholesterol without prescription drugs. And a similar study appeared also in the Journal of the American Medical Association stating that psyllium lowered cholesterol levels about 5% in just 12 weeks. So the experts say that for every percentage point that you drop bad cholesterol, you also decrease your risk of a heart attack by 2%. So the patients in these studies reduced their risk of a heart attack by at least 10%. All the studies also mentioned that the psyllium seeds offered no side effect. So when the psyllium seeds become wet, as I said, they expand, they bulk up. They bulk up the stool in your colon, and then that presses against the colon wall, and it stimulates the nerve endings of the bowel. And this produces a wave-like contraction of the bowel, and this gives us the urge to have a bowel movement. So it stimulates the bowel to move. So when the stool bulks up in this fashion, it also becomes softer, and it's easier for us to pass through the rectum and without straining. So the American diet doesn't contain enough natural fiber, and one in every 61 Americans is constipated with a very hard stool, and it's difficult to pass. Now, this accounts for about $2.5 million that we spend in the doctor's office for this type of thing, and all we need is about 10 cents worth of psyllium. Interesting. All right, what is the cause of constipation? Well, like I said, diet, not enough fiber, not enough exercise. Other things can be your drugs that you're on can cause the constipation, antacids, pain relievers, blood pressure meds, antidepressants, any supplements that are for iron, ferrous sulfate can do that, and also diuretics can constipate you. So look at your lifestyle, and you could probably pinpoint some things. If it's not just your diet, it could be something else you're doing. Well, here's some hints, though. Psyllium works great, but you may want to layer it with more fluids and let it work even better. So a teaspoon of psyllium and 16 ounces of water could be enough just to get the bowel moving and functioning normally. So you want to do your bowel cleansing safely and effectively. So if you're looking for an effective bowel cleanse that has psyllium, it also has pectin and an apple pectin, which is great for protecting the colon from certain ailments, you can check out the Bowel Cleanse product at thepowerherbs.com. So do check that out. Everything's organic, and there's no synthetic or GMO. And the cleanses are designed to be gentle and effective. So for less than $80, you can get a bowel cleanse kit, and you could do your first cleanse, and then 6 months later, you'll have enough in the kit to do a second cleanse as a maintenance. So cleansing, getting rid of the toxins, open up the elimination channels, toning that bowel muscle so it works more efficiently and more often, because we need to be going several times a day. That's how the bowel should operate. This is how you prevent disease from getting a foothold, is making sure the toxins free flow out of the body. And I've often said, and I'll say it again, cleanse and nourish, cleanse and nourish. If you cleanse the body, the toxins, and nourish it with good, healthy, organic nutrition, you got most things whooped when it comes to disease. So it's really our duty to protect the vessel that the Holy Spirit lives in and do our due diligence there. And in our day and age, we have to cleanse more than our ancestors did because of our day and age. So if you're interested in learning more about organ cleansing and immune boosting, then I encourage you to contact the experts. That's Apothecary Herbs. They've been doing it for 15 years. And they have a toll-free number, and you get a free product catalog. The number is 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. And, of course, all their products and more information is available online on their website, thepowerherbs.com. Thepowerherbs.com, that's where your healthcare options just became endless. Of course, you can get there typing in herbtalklive.com and see what they have. If you have any questions, you can call or email. And you can help get some help selecting the things that are right for you. Now, if you want some free information in your email each week, some natural therapy powering information, empowerment, it's all about that, sign up for their free online newsletters. Now, you can go to their website, thepowerherbs.com, and then click on the Books and Newsletters tab, and you can sign up free for your newsletter there. There is no fee to get your HealthQuest newsletter. And it will go out to your email each and every week. And, of course, you also can qualify for special discounts to use in the PowerHerbs.com store for saving money on your herbal cleanses, your immune boosters, your pandemic kits, and so on. So you've got some tools. You got information. You've got empowerment. That's what you've got. You've got a natural solution to everyday problems. So if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs. It's right there at thepowerherbs.com website. All right, well, I'm almost out of time, but don't forget, coming up next week, a week from tonight, we're going to be talking with Dr. Rebecca Carley. Her link is on our links page if you want to check her out, her website. And we're going to be talking more about the vaccine issue and how unstable I suppose the research labs are. And also, if you are thinking about attending the Natural Vision Workshop by John Monroe, you need to sign up this week, and you can call him at 303-494-4532, 303-494-4532. He's in Boulder, Colorado, so remember, that's mountain time. And tell him you're interested in the workshop in Charlotte on July 26th, Charlotte, North Carolina. And more information on their workshops are on their website, drbanker.com. That's drbanker.com. Tell him I sent you. And if you can't get to a workshop, I understand. But their self-help vision care kit is the bomb. You know, if you want to know why your eyes aren't working right, this kit explains it. It really does. And you can get your eyeballs working correctly, like I'm working on mine. So still working on my nearsightedness. Was -4. Now I'm a -2. And I'm doing great. And I'm working on those outer eye muscles. So getting the eyeball back into normal shape. That's what it's all about if you're nearsighted and you can get rid of those glasses. So that's my goal. So hopefully that will be, you know, it's a work in progress. I gotta go, folks. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice, if you dare, from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Till next time, be well.